The 109th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. I shall now invite the attention of the General Assembly to draft resolution 8/68/L62, circulated on the sub-item A of agenda item 19, entitled Implementation of Agenda Item 21, the program for the further implementation of Agenda 21 and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development and of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the General Assembly decided to allocate sub-item A of Agenda Item 19 to the second committee to enable the General Assembly to take action expeditiously on the document. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to consider sub-item A of Agenda Item 19 directly in plenary meeting and proceed immediately to its consideration? I see no objection. It is so decided. The General Assembly will now resume its consideration of sub-item A of Agenda Item 19, implementation of Agenda Item 21, the program for the further implementation of Agenda 21 and the outcomes of the World Summit on Sustainable Development and of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, to take action on the draft resolution entitled 4 1-day structured dialogues on possible arrangements for a facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies, issued as document A/68/L62. The Assembly will now take a decision on draft resolution A/68/L62, entitled 4 1-day structured dialogues on possible arrangements for a facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies. May I take it that the Assembly decides to adopt draft resolution A/68/L62? It is so decided. We have a request for a statement from the delegation of the European Union.
Thank you. I have the honor to speak on behalf of the European Union and its member states. Sorry. Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, first we would like to thank co-moderators, Ambassador Seeger and Ambassador Patriota, for their tireless efforts in bringing forward the structured dialogues on possible arrangements for a facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technology. We take note of the report by the President of the General Assembly on the structured dialogues, which outlines in the recommendations for the way forward three functions for a technology facilitation mechanism: mapping of existing technology facilitation mechanisms, frameworks, and processes on clean and environmentally sound technologies through creation of an online knowledge sharing platform; improved interagency coherence on technology facilitation through better coordination; and further promotion of technology needs assessment and capacity building. While we do not necessarily agree to all details in the descriptions, we acknowledge that the three functions were indeed identified in the dialogues as important gaps, and there was a general sentiment among member states that addressing them would promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies. Hence, we believe that further elaborating these functions must be at the core of our future technology discussions. Conversely, and while we remain open to considering further ideas and proposals, we believe that we should not devote additional time discussing those elements on which there's clearly upon which it clearly appeared in the structured dialogues that no consensus is emerging. Thank you.
The representative of Japan.
Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, first of all, my delegation would like to thank His Excellency Mr. Segal, the permanent representative of Switzerland, and His Excellency Mr. Patriota, the DPR of Brazil, and their team for their hard work, both as co-moderator of the 4 one-day structured dialogues on possible arrangement for a facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technology, and as co-facilitator of this resolution, A/68/L62. Japan is one of the countries which has been keen to share its knowledge and technology with the international community. We are very proud of our many contributions to the world in this regard over the last several decades. We fully recognize that without technology, it would be impossible to achieve any development in any country. However, we still believe that creating a new mechanism within UN is not the best and the most relevant solution for the development, transfer, and dissemination of technology. Our main finding from the dialogue was the importance of creating an environment conducive to facilitating the engagement of the private sector, who are the primary developer and owner of technology. Such an environment would include sound regulatory and policy framework in recipient country, including the protection of intellectual property rights, in order to encourage the private sector to continue and increase the innovation of new technology. Based on this basic idea, my delegation stands ready to continue discussion about how best to address this important topic in the next session of the General Assembly. I thank you.
The Permanent Representative of India.
Thank you, Mr. President. My delegation would like to join others in commending Ambassador Sega of Switzerland and Ambassador Patriota of Brazil for their exemplary role as co-facilitators for this document which we have adopted today. We commend the General Assembly for adopting by consensus the draft resolution A/68/L62 regarding structured dialogues on options for a technology facilitation mechanism. By adopting this resolution, the Assembly has provided a mandate for the continuation of meaningful discussions on the issue of technology cooperation and linked it with the adoption of the post-2015 development agenda. This is something we welcome, not least because, in our view, the mandate of GA Resolution 68/210 remains unfulfilled. Mr. President, the resolution we have adopted today mandates the continuation of discussions based on the recommendations of the President of the General Assembly emanating out of the 4 structured dialogues held during the 68th session. However, it is clear that both the summary presented by the co-moderators and the recommendations of the PGA build on the discussions on this issue over the last 2 years. In fact, it is but natural to consider the discussion so far on this issue as part of a continuum and an organic whole starting from the mandate given by the Rio Plus 20 conference and including the 2 reports of the Secretary General, which unequivocally recommended the creation of such a mechanism, the discussions in the workshops during the 67th session, and of course, the 4 structured dialogues convened during this session. As we seek to reach a conclusion during the 69th UNGA on this issue, it will be our understanding that our discussions will build on and base themselves on all these inputs and processes since Rio Plus 20. Mr. President, the Indian delegation has long maintained that without a collaborative approach on international cooperation on technology transfer and diffusion, the global achievement of sustainable development will remain a mirage. The global nature of the challenges that we confront makes it imperative that a public goods approach to global resources is matched by an equally constructive approach to technology cooperation. As the international community embarks on a path-breaking exercise to translate the normative discourse of ideas on sustainable development into actionable commitments through the SDGs, it is all the more important that discussions on technology transfer and cooperation also move from long-winding debates into meaningful and action-oriented outcomes. Mr. President, you can count on the Indian delegation's constructive and proactive engagement on this issue in the months ahead. We consider a meaningful outcome on technology cooperation in the form of the creation of a facilitation mechanism as an indispensable part of a successful negotiation on the post-2015 development agenda. I thank you.
The permanent representative of Indonesia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wish to take this opportunity to convey my delegation's highest appreciation to Ambassador Paul Seger, PR of Switzerland, and Ambassador Guilherme de Aguiar Patriota, DPR of Brazil, for ably co-moderating the series of structured dialogues. Mr. President, the Rio Plus 20 outcome document, knowledge, technology, as one of the key means of implementation, along with finance, capacity building, and trade. We are therefore pleased by the outcome of the Open Working Group on SDGs, which affirmed technology as a vital component of means of implementation for sustainable development globally. Specifically for developing countries, technology is a vital means to overcome obstacles of economic expansion and growth. Technology also serves to achieve specific development goals through a more sustainable development path. Despite this necessity, developing countries are still facing major challenges in advancing the use of technology. I am glad that technology in the context of sustainable development has received a dedicated discussion within the General Assembly. The four structured dialogues give us a good picture of the overall potential for building a technology facilitation mechanism. However, we have come to understand through the summary of the dialogues presented by the co-facilitators that more discussion is needed and that the co-moderators have recommended further discussions in the 69th General Assembly session based on a number of elements and functions having to do with technology facilitation. Indonesia, in this regard, welcomes the recommendations as presented in the resolution and look forward for further process aim of reaching a conclusion at the 69th session on a technology facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies under the UN in the context of the post-2015 development agenda. For this purpose, Indonesia stands ready to support the process in a constructive manner. I thank you, Mr. President.
The United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. The four structured dialogues on possible arrangements for a facilitation mechanism to promote the development, transfer, and dissemination of clean and environmentally sound technologies have reconfirmed the importance of technology to development solutions and generated ideas about possible next steps. And my delegation sincerely thanks everyone who contributed to a productive discussion in those dialogues. At the same time, they also leave us, in our view, with significant work still to do. In our view, it is critical to understand this issue as broader than the narrower question of technology transfer and to look at what drives and sustains technological advance, innovation, and application. This necessarily entails assessing the institutional conditions that promote innovation, technology adaptation, and diffusion, the human capital requirements for deepening of knowledge and expertise. It requires looking at diverse, solution-oriented forms of international development cooperation. It thus also involves questions of investment, entrepreneurship, capacity building, STEM education, especially for women, and enabling policy and regulatory environments, particularly around intellectual property. The work that has been done on technology transfer can be a basis for what, in our view, is still needed, namely a more substantial, independent analytical exercise in due diligence and a much better understanding and fuller range of views from the private sector, which we believe is both a key source and supporter of innovation, research, and commercialization of new technology. The United States also believes that in addition to preparing for the absorption and adoption of new technologies, receiving countries must implement strong legal regimes to help protect innovations. This includes creation of rules that stimulate competition, entrepreneurship, commerce, and investment, and a robust and well-enforced intellectual property regime. Without this kind of intellectual property protection, many innovators would be unwilling to transfer or share their new technologies. On the issue of linking the discussion of technology transfer to the post-2015 development agenda, it is important to clarify that what the Open Working Group sent forward was not a consensus document, but a working proposal that reflects differing views, including in relation to technology, which was minimally discussed in the group. We therefore remain committed to working with all colleagues in the context of the post-2015 development agenda, in the context of our financing for development discussions, and in the context of any follow-on to these dialogues to ensure substantive and productive discussions that can help us chart a path forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Representative of Australia.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you to the permanent representatives of Brazil and Switzerland for their work as co-chairs on this issue. Australia remains committed to continuing discussions on technology transfer and facilitation under the resolution we've adopted. We note the mandate for these continuing discussions is focused on environmentally sound technologies, and while we recognise the post-2015 context, our view is that these discussions do not encompass technology facilitation writ large. We also view that intellectual property is not a barrier or a constraint to technology transfer or facilitation. Rather, it is critical to the development of new and innovative technologies. The creation of conducive domestic environments that encourage investment and innovation are the best methods to boost countries' technological capacity. And the use by states of international norms and standards and intellectual property regulations will continue to encourage investment and develop local capacities in technology. We therefore look forward to finding ways to help all states connect with existing technologies during discussions in the 69th session of the General Assembly. Thank you, Mr. President.
We have heard the last speaker on this item. May I take it that the Assembly wishes to conclude its consideration of sub-item A of agenda item 19? It is so decided. The General Assembly will resume its consideration of agenda item 29, report of the Security Council. Members will recall that the Assembly considered agenda item 29 jointly with agenda item 123, question of equitable representation on an increase in the membership of the Security Council and related matters at its 46th, 49th, and 56th plenary meetings on 7, 8, and 21st November 2013, respectively. May I take it that the General Assembly takes note of the report of the Security Council contained in document A/68/2? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 29? It is so decided. The General Assembly will now resume its consideration of Agenda Item 14, Integrated and Coordinated Implementation of and Follow-up to the Outcomes of the Major United Nations Conferences and Summits in the Economic, Social, and Related Fields, and Agenda Item 118, Follow-up to the Outcome of the Millennium Summit. I should like to draw the attention of members to the need for an early agreement on the agreed text of the draft resolution on the organization of the United Nations Summit for the adoption of the post-2015 development agenda as soon as possible at the 69th session. It is my hope that the document will be finalized promptly in order for the Assembly to move forward with the necessary preparatory work for the summit. In this regard, I will be forwarding the current version of the text to the President of the General Assembly at its 69th session for further consideration and issuance as an L document of the 69th session. At this stage, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Ambassador Peterson of Denmark and Ambassador Icy of Papua New Guinea, co-facilitators of the informal consultations on this process, for their dedicated work in guiding the consultations during the current session. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of Agenda Items 14 and 118. The General Assembly will now consider Agenda Item 38, entitled The Situation in Occupied Territories of Azerbaijan. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of the 68th session. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to defer consideration of this item to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to defer consideration of this item and to include it in the draft agenda of the 69th session? It is so decided. May I also take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of Agenda Item 38? It is so decided. The Assembly will now turn to Agenda Item 39, entitled Question of the Comoron Island of Mayotte. Members will recall that at the second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the General Assembly decided to include this item in its agenda on the understanding that there would be a consideration of this item by the Assembly. There'd be no consideration of this item by the Assembly until further notice. In connection with the item, I have received a note verbal dated 15 May 2014 from the Permanent Mission of the Comoros to the United Nations requesting the inclusion of this item in the provisional agenda of the 69th session. May I take it, it is the wish of the Assembly to include the item entitled Question of the Comoron Island of Mayotte in the draft agenda of the 69th session? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of Agenda Item 39? It is so decided. The Assembly will now turn to Agenda Items 42 to 47. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include Items 42 to 47 in the agenda of the 68th session in accordance with Paragraph 4B of the Annex to its resolution 58/316 of 1st July 2004. In resolution 58/316, the General Assembly decided that these items shall remain in the agenda for consideration upon notification by a member state. Accordingly, these items have been included in the draft agenda of the 69th session. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda items 42 to 47? It is so decided. Before proceeding further, I should like to inform members on the status of the consideration of the draft resolution entitled Outcome Document of the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. It is my understanding that member states would wish to have more time to consider this item. In this regard, I will be forwarding the text to the President of the General Assembly at its 69th session for further consideration and action by the Assembly at the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples. The Assembly will now turn to Agenda Item 85, the rule of law at the national and international levels, concerning the addendum to the report of the Secretary General on strengthening and coordinating United Nations rule of law activities, circulated in document A/68/213, addendum 1. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the General Assembly decided to allocate agenda item 85 to the 6th Committee. To enable the General Assembly to consider the item expeditiously, may I take it that the Assembly wishes to consider agenda item 85 directly in plenary meeting and proceed immediately to its consideration? I see no objections. It's so decided. The General Assembly will now resume consideration of agenda item 85, the rule of law at national and international levels. I should now like to turn the attention of members to the addendum to the report of the Secretary General on strengthening and coordinating United Nations rule of law activities, circulated in document A/68/213, addendum 1. The report of the Secretary General, which was submitted in accordance with Resolution 67/1 of 24th September 2012 and issued as in July 2014, was not considered by the Assembly during the current session. In this connection, I received a letter from the permanent representatives of Denmark and Mexico to the United Nations, dated 9th September 2014, requesting that the document be considered by the Assembly at its 69th session. May I take it that the Assembly decides to consider the addendum to the report of the Secretary General on strengthening and coordinating United Nations rule of law activities, circulated in document A/68/213, addendum 1, at its 69th session under the item entitled The Rule of Law at the National and International Levels? There be no objection, it is so decided. The General Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 85. We now turn to agenda item 128, entitled International Criminal Tribunal for the Prosecution of Persons Responsible for Genocide and Other Serious Violations of International Humanitarian Law Committed in the Territory of Rwanda and the Rwandan Citizens Responsible for Genocide and Other Such Violations Committed in the Territory of Neighboring States between 1 January and 31st December 1994. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of the 68th session. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to defer consideration of this item to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to defer consideration of agenda item 128 and to include it in the draft agenda of its 69th session? It is so decided. May I also take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 128? It is so decided. The General Assembly will now resume consideration of agenda item 129, entitled International Tribunal for the Prosecution of Persons Responsible for Serious Violations of International Humanitarian Law Committed in the Territory of the Former Yugoslavia since 1991. Members will recall that at its 53rd plenary meeting on 18 December 2013, the Assembly elected Mr. Kofi Afandi of Togo as a member of the International Tribunal for a term of office beginning on 18 November and ending on 31st December 2013. Members will also recall that under agenda item 129, the Assembly adopted decision 68/416 at its 72nd plenary meeting on 23rd December 2013. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to include agenda item 129 in the draft agenda of the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to include agenda item 129 in the draft agenda of its 69th session? It is so decided. May I also take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 129? It is so decided. We now turn to agenda item 149, entitled Financing of the United Nations Mission in the Central African Republic and Chad. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of the 68th session. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to defer consideration of this item to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to defer consideration of agenda item 149 and to include it in the draft agenda of its 69th session? It is so decided. May I also take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 149? It is so decided. We now turn to agenda item 153, entitled Financing of the United Nations Mission in East Timor. Members will recall that at its second plenary meeting on 20th September 2013, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of the 68th session. It is my understanding that it would be desirable to defer consideration of this item to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to defer consideration of agenda item 153 and to include it in the draft agenda of its 69th session? It is so decided. May I also take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 153? It is so decided. The General Assembly will now consider agenda item 175, entitled Investigation into the Conditions and Circumstances Resulting in the Tragic Death of Dag Hammarskjöld and of Members of the Party Accompanying Him. Members will recall that at its 75th plenary meeting on 7th March 2014, the Assembly decided to include this item in the agenda of its 68th session. In connection with this item, I have received a letter dated 11th September 2014 from the Permanent Representative of Sweden to the United Nations. The Permanent Representative of Sweden has requested that consideration of this item be deferred to the 69th session of the General Assembly. May I take it that the Assembly decides to defer consideration of this item and to include in the draft agenda of the 69th session, the item entitled Investigation into the Conditions and Circumstances Resulting in the Tragic Death of Dag Hammarskjöld and of Members of the Party Accompanying Him? It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of agenda item 175? It is so decided. The General Assembly will now consider agenda item 64, entitled Report of the Human Rights Council. Members will recall that the Assembly considered this agenda item at its 52nd plenary meeting on 13 November 2013. Members will also recall that under agenda item 64, the Assembly adopted resolution 68/144 at its 70th plenary meeting on 18 December 2013. By that resolution, the Assembly decided, inter alia, to conclude its consideration of Human Rights Council Resolution 2424 before the end of its 68th session. In this connection, I have received a request to defer consideration of Human Rights Council Resolution 2424 to the 69th session. May I take it that the Assembly decides to defer consideration of Human Rights Council Resolution 2424 to the 69th session? It is so decided. May I take it that the Assembly decides to conclude its consideration of Human Rights Council Resolution 2424? It is so decided. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda item 64. I should like to remind delegations that the following agenda items, which have been considered at previous meetings, remain open for consideration during the 68th session of the General Assembly. Items 9, 10, 14 to 16, 18, 19, 19B, 19H, 21, 21D, 22B, 23, 30, 33B, 35, 36, 63, 70, 70A to D, 85, 111, 112, 114, 114B, 115, 115A, 116, 116H, 118, 121, 124, 125, 131 to 135, 137 to 148, 150 to 152, 154 to 165, and 176. As members are aware, these items have been included in the provisional agenda of the 69th session of the General Assembly, with the exception of sub-item B of agenda item 33, entitled Strengthening the Role of Mediation in the Peaceful Settlement of Disputes, Conflict Prevention and Resolution, sub-item D of agenda item 70, entitled Strengthening of International Cooperation and Coordination of Efforts to Study, Mitigate, and Minimize the Consequences of the Chernobyl Disaster, agenda item 133, entitled Program Budget for the Biennium 2012-2013, and agenda item 134, entitled Proposed Program Budget for the Biennium 2014-2015. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to include items 9, 10, 14 to 16, 18, 19, 19B, 19H, 21, 21D, 22H, 22B, 23, 30, 35, 36, 63, 70, 78 to C, 85, 111, 112, 114, 114B, 115, 115A, 116, 116H, 118, 121, 124, 125, 131, 132, 135, 137 to 148, 150 to 152, 154 to 165, and 176 in the draft agenda of the 69th session. It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly . My understanding that the United States wishes the floor on a point of order on agenda item 64.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to request clarification on agenda item 64, which was not on today's agenda, and our understanding was that that agenda item was previously closed. We did request the floor at the time you mentioned the agenda item, but we were not seen at that time. Would you mind clarifying? Thank you.
We will come back to that matter. Let me conclude on this one. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude this consideration of agenda items 9, 10, 14 to 16, 18, 19, 19B, 19H, 21, 21D, 22B, 23, 30, 33B, 35, 36, 63, 70, 70A, to D, 85, 111, 112, 114, 114B, 115, 115A, 116, 116H, 118, 121, 124, 125, 131 to 135, 137 to 148, 150 to 152, 154 to 165, and 176 at the present session. It is so decided. to the representative of the United States. In response to your query, it's been brought to my attention that the request for deferral came rather late, and that's why I read it out in its entirety and sought the General Assembly's concurrence to defer it. I understand there may have been a technical glitch, because I think you did mention that you requested the floor, but unfortunately it did not register with the Secretariat. So my apologies. It's now my pleasure to give the floor to our Secretary General, His Excellency Mr. Ban Ki-moon.
Your Excellency, Ambassador John Ash, President of the 68th Session of the General Assembly, Your Excellency, Mr. Sam Kutesa, President-elect of the 69th Session of the General Assembly, Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to join all of you as we mark the closing of the 68th Session of the General Assembly and to do so in this beautifully, elegantly renovated General Assembly Hall. And I thank all those who have been working tirelessly and the patience and endurance of member states who have been supporting and waiting for this opening of General Assembly. We'll have more formal opening on 24th. Before that, let me just say a personal observation vis-a-vis our distinguished President of General Assembly. Mr. President, I think you should have at least the privilege of chairing for one day in this beautifully renovated General Assembly Hall. You often told me that you'd regret to be the only presence of the General Assembly in the history of the UN who would not be able to sit in this proper president's chair. Now, for the first time and last time, you are sitting in this very historic, the first time you are chairing in this hall. And I congratulate, and you are leaving important legacy as far as your presence is concerned. And I thank you for your patience, Mr. President. Excellencies, we are wrapping up a vital year of work and progress. I commend the President of the General Assembly, Ambassador John Ash, for his leadership and convey my deepest admiration for his vision and commitment. Throughout his presidency, he has led by example during his utmost doing his utmost to ensure that the work of the General Assembly proceeds in a most effective and efficient and timely manner. He is surely one of the most punctual presidents of the General Assembly in United Nations history. And again, I thank you very much for your leading by example. I also want to extend my gratitude to the Vice Presidents, Committee Chairs, and all those who were so instrumental in the successful work of this Assembly through such challenging times. This has been an eventful year. We started with a full agenda and consequential tasks to help lay the foundation for success in 2015 on the Millennium Development Goals, the post-2015 development agenda, and meaningful new climate agreement by the end of next year. We also faced many global crises that left the Security Council paralyzed and on which the General Assembly rose to act. Mr. President, through it all, you demonstrated wise leadership in steering our global discussions towards constructive solutions. You came to the United Nations from a small island with a big capacity to work with other countries. You used your training as an engineer to build consensus. You also carried a long-standing commitment to sustainable development that you translated into results. Your leadership as co-chair of the RioPros 20 Conference on Sustainable Development paved the foundation for our deliberations of the Sustainable Development Goals. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, when the world lost one of the most inspiring leaders, President Nelson Mandela, this General Assembly came together to celebrate his life at a special meeting. Thanks to the efforts and initiative of President and the General Assembly, the United Nations will always honor and remember Madiba through the UN Nelson Lolly Hula Hula Mandela Prize. Through your leadership, this General Assembly reached out to the world at large, even bringing questions sent through social media into thematic debates and high-level events. Above all, I believe this session of the General Assembly has truly set the stage for the success of the post-2015 development agenda, including through a number of important thematic debates and valuable high-level events. Member states and civil society came together on the Open Working Group on the Sustainable Development Goals and the International Committee of Experts on Sustainable Development Financing. And progress was fostered through the dialogues on the technology facilitation mechanism and the accountability framework. I applaud all of this action. This will have a positive effect on our collective long-term future and will, as you will, your efforts to revitalize the work of the General Assembly to enhance responsiveness and better accommodate the needs and demands of member states. Once again, Mr. President, I thank all of you for your work during this 68th session. At the same time, I look forward to the leadership of incoming President, His Excellency, Mr. Sam Kutesa, to carry this work forward over the next year. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank our Secretary General for his statement. Permit me now to make a closing statement. And as you would imagine, I would do it from the podium, first and only time. Excellencies, Secretary General, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, pleasant good afternoon to you. We are now at the close of the 68th session of the General Assembly, and this is the last time I will have the singular honor of addressing you as President of the General Assembly. As I look out across the room, I'm indeed honored to see so many friends and colleagues with whom I have toiled in this very room, well, not this brand new one, but you get the picture, in a collaborative effort aimed at addressing global challenges. Those of you who know me very well know I like to keep it short. And here's where I would like to say goodbye and good luck. And that is my farewell speech. On second thought, permit me to share just a few more words with you as I prepare to hand over to my very able successor, the Foreign Minister of Uganda, His Excellency Mr. Sam Kutesa, the President of the 69th session of the General Assembly. Today is a far cry from that day in June of 2013 when I took, and I counted them, 33 steps from my country seat to the podium to accept your acclamation as president of the 68th session of the General Assembly. As the Secretary General just said, we are sitting in a renovated hall. And that day, the hall that I accepted your acclamation does not look anything like this. But at the end of the day, the work that we did together is neither temporary or in any way a makeshift. We took some decisions that I hope will be lasting. Let me thank the folks from the Capital Master Plan for providing me with this opportunity to stand here before you. In fact, to put it bluntly, you saved my bacon. Timing, as they say in life, is indeed everything. I recall many of you, and you're still my friends, used to remind me throughout the session that I may very well go down in history as the first PGA to have never sat on that podium. To you, my friends, I say, take that. I am here in live and living color on the very last day of my presidency. I could not have gotten here without your help. That's why, despite the slings and arrows you have thrown my way, you're still my friends. But the question remains, and it's indeed a valid one. You, Mr. President, what have you done with the opportunity that we have provided you? And let me try to answer that question. On that day, in June of 2013, I ask you to join me in a quest to turn your attention from the preoccupation at that time with peace and security to another pillar of the United Nations, development. And to be more specific, I ask you to join me in setting the stage for the post-2015 development agenda. Have I succeeded? Only you can answer that question. But as we look back over the 68th session, you will recall that on that day, I told you I would convene 6 thematic debates and high-level events. I would give you an opportunity, you the member states, an opportunity to tell everyone, including yourselves, what you would like to see in this emerging post-2015 development agenda. You took me on blind faith, and for that I thank you profusely. We were able to have a full discussion with all stakeholders, including civil society, who for the very first time were able to feel as though they were part of a journey that the international community was about to commence. We could turn to the normal metrics that one used to judge success, numbers. And I could tell you, throughout the 68th session, you adopted a total of 300 resolutions and, I don't know, about 80 or so decisions. But numbers never really tell the whole story. And we know, in the UN context, the whole story is neither ever whole or ever a story. The world is far more complex than that. So let's look beneath the numbers. We have an opportunity in crafting this post-2015 development agenda, an opportunity to derive something in a collective way that is going to be participatory, that is going to be inclusive, and have as its overarching objective the eradication of extreme poverty. That is no small undertaking. That is going to require a collective effort. It's going to require you, the member states, front and center in an intergovernmental forum such as this, but you cannot, as Rio Plus 20 adequately showed, you cannot do this alone. You need partners. And those partners you will find in civil society. You will find in the private sector. And you have to reach an accommodation. Because whatever you ultimately agree on, you would need them to help you implement it if ultimately we are to be successful in this quest. This will require a sea change, a departure from the norm in the way we normally do business. We are at the threshold of a new development, of crafting a new development paradigm. And it's going to require a departure from the norm. It is you, the member states, who would have to make the commitments. But you will need partners to help you take whatever you commit to forward, because the sustainable development agenda that you're looking at is vastly different from the one that was originally envisaged back in 1992. There are tremendous challenges and indeed opportunities that lay ahead, and it's going to require literally every shoulder to the wheel. Within that, you're going to have to pay keen attention to the most vulnerable. And on the social side, that will most certainly include women and the young. For far too long, women have been treated as second-class citizens. Today, and henceforth, we hope that is no longer the case. Because if indeed they do comprise 50% of the world's population, and they gave birth to the other half, you can no longer ignore them. They have to be full partners going forward. If this is about the future, you have to include the young. And not by just simply telling them, we are planning for you. No, they have to be there in on the planning, because this ultimately will be about them. They will inherit the earth. And so they must be an integral part of your work as you seek to craft this new agenda. There are a number of the things that you did during the 68th session. For example, you successfully completed the fourth biennial review of the global counterterrorism strategy and saw the launch of the first ever UN web portal for victims of terrorism. There was a high-level declaration that was the product of a high-level dialogue on migration and development. There was a renewal of political commitment by our leaders to wrestle against major health, social, and economic threats posed by NCDs, and the resultant call for strengthened multi-sectoral approaches for their prevention and control. You achieved consensus in negotiations on the resolution, strengthening and enhancing the effective functioning of the Human Rights Treaty Body System, bringing to satisfactory closure 2 years of protracted consultations. As we just heard from our Secretary General, you have agreed to establish the Nelson Mandela Prize in tribute to the extraordinary life and legacy of one of the greatest statesmen and humanitarians the world will ever see. This prize will serve not just as a tangible reminder of his service to humanity, but as a potent inspiration to all who work tirelessly to improve human well-being and bravely confront human hatred, repression, and violence. We also witness the unveiling of the winning design for the permanent memorial. Two, and remembrance of victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. With the Assembly proclaiming 2015-2024 as the international decade for people of African descent, which is expected to be launched immediately after the general debate, the 69th session, the descendants of the estimated 20 million Africans who were sold in slavery can now look to the UN for a reshaping of the narrative and consequences of that event and discover how new constructive approaches can be used. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, one of my objectives during the 60th session was to make progress in revitalizing and reforming this institution of ours. And I am pleased that we were able to make some progress in this area with the adoption of an ambitious new resolution on the revitalization of the work of the General Assembly, the inauguration of the High-Level Political Forum, a resolution on reforming and strengthening the Economic and Social Council, and the adoption of the mobility framework for UN staff. We now have new institutions that are intended to make the UN more relevant, more responsive, and more effective. The path to reform is still one that we need to tread, no more so than on the thorny issue of Security Council reform. While it would be foolhardy to underestimate the challenges inherent in getting to a round of real negotiations on Security Council reform, it must be a course of action which we should never shy away from. For if we are to arrive at an organization that is truly representative and fully reflective of its membership of their day, as opposed to that of decades past, we have to, sooner rather than later, seek to make it so. In this regard, I hope that you, the membership, will endeavor to build on the somewhat modest momentum achieved during this session and capitalize on the opportunities that the next and/or future sessions offer. I have frequently observed that a man or woman can be from an island, but is never an island. And in an increasingly interconnected world, no man or woman who is engaged in a collective enterprise can truly say he or she walks alone. I would therefore like to thank the vice presidents of the 68th session who have assisted me with the work of the session, and the various chairs and co-chairs who have taken up important issues and kept our agenda forward-looking and on schedule. Time is money. I would also like to thank the many facilitators and co-facilitators who have also assisted in this endeavor. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd be somewhat remiss if I didn't take a moment to praise our Secretary General, who has continued steadfastly to lead this organization with skill and dedication and self-deprecating humor, with diminishing resources and with an agenda that expands exponentially, all against a backdrop of a world that is fraught with daily crises and seemingly intractable problems. I say to you, sir, thank you. And to your entire executive office for all the support that they have extended to my team and I from day one. I would also like to acknowledge the support that I received from virtually all of the secretariat, in particular, the Department of Management, the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, and the Department of Public Information. But through it all, one department, DGACM, and its Under Secretary General, Mr. Getu, have been steadfast in their support to the Office of the President General, General of Assembly. Whatever successes we have achieved, they have been an integral part of that. So I thank you very much, sir. And to my own dream team, the men and women of the Office of the President of the General Assembly of the 60th Session, whose professionalism, hard work, and dedication has made whatever we achieve during the 60th Session possible. To each and every one of you, I simply say thank you. Now, as I take my leave, I have no greater hope than that our work empowers today's young girls and boys to pursue their dreams and to make the difference they want to see in a world that is finally gender neutral. Each of us has a part to play in making that a reality. As I take my leave and pass the torch on to my successor, I would like to wish him and his team much success with the 69th session. I have had my moment. Thank you for making it memorable. I thank you. We will now have a moment of silent prayer and meditation. Please stand for a minute. Please be seated. It is my understanding that we have two requests for the floor, United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. We wish to return briefly to agenda item 64 and the decision that was taken moments ago. We simply wanted to state for the record our concern that the agenda item had been closed and was not reopened by the General Assembly prior to adoption of this decision, and that we were not recognized on point of order prior to adoption of the decision. Our views on the substantive issue are well known, and on this important issue, we believe further consultations should have taken place prior to presentation of that proposed decision. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you. European Union.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regard to the decision just taken under item 64, we would also like to put on record our understanding that there were no discussions on the decision that was taken under this particular item and regarding the decision made, and I would also note that our position on this issue is well known. Thank you very much.
So noted. Excellencies, distinguished colleagues, before closing the session, I would like to invite to the podium the President-elect of the 69th session, His Excellency Sir Sam Kutesa, to hand over the gavel to him. The session is now closed.